The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from 1 Kings chapter 3. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 52. Just read, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, did you ever wonder what Jesus was like as a kid? It is hard to know what people were like in Jesus' day, but we do have some inkling through writers such as Plutarch. Plutarch lived from 46 to 120 AD in Greece, but he traveled widely. His two most famous works are the biographies Lives of the Roman Emperors and Parallel Lives. In one of his most important biographies, titled Life of Alexander, Plutarch recorded stories about Alexander the Great as a youth, which were intended to show how Alexander's virtues, drive, and talents were presaged in his early years. Alexander was not an ordinary young man of his day. He was extraordinary. Alexander was the son of Philip of Macedon, who had succeeded in uniting the Greek states. So Alexander was famous as soon as he was born. Alexander learned at an early age how to ride horses, which was a rich man's occupation. Alexander was tutored by Aristotle, the famous philosopher, and that was the equivalent in that day of going to Oxford University on a Rhodes Scholarship and personal attention from the best professors. Besides all that, Alexander lived in the lap of luxury and was sheltered from the hardships of life that were common to 99% of the people of his day. That was Alexander as a child and youth. In many ways, Jesus was just the opposite of Alexander. Jesus was the son of a carpenter, which was a very common occupation. Although descended from King David, Jesus' royal ancestry had no political or cultural value, certainly no economic value for the family. Jesus only emerged out of obscurity when he started doing miracles. Jesus did not ride horses, but he probably knew a little bit about donkeys. Joseph would have used donkeys to transport lumber for his jobs. Jesus had no formal training, as far as we know. He may have had the Jewish equivalent of catechism class, but there is no evidence for that in the Gospels. Besides all that, Jesus lived in the lap of poverty and experienced all the hardships of life that were common to 99% of the people of his day. We have only two general statements about Jesus in his childhood and youth, and one story, which is our gospel lesson today. The first statement is one verse prior to our gospel, which says, quote, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 40. The second statement is our last verse, which says, quote, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That's Luke 2, verse 52. What can we say about this? Strong in spirit means strong in the Holy Spirit and the attitudes that come from the Spirit. Filled with wisdom means possessing wisdom and an insight into human nature far beyond his years. Grace of God means the same as in favor with God and men. Put this in our own words today. We would say that Jesus was a kid that everybody liked and about which no one had anything bad to say. He never got in trouble. He avoided fights with his peers, and he was a peacemaker when kids were fighting, as you know they all do. He treated all kids equally, both boys and girls, rich and poor, Samaritan, Greek, and Jew. He obeyed and respected his parents and other authorities. He liked to go to synagogue to hear the reading of the Old Testament and the saying of the prayers. In other words, he was genuinely pious without being sanctimonious. Then there is what we have, the one story from Jesus' youth, when he went to Jerusalem at age 12. That's our gospel lesson. Verse 41 says that Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem every year for the festival of the Passover. And this may indicate that not all the Jewish people in Palestine did this. Mary and Joseph may have been above average in their religious observance, which would not be surprising from what we know about them. In any event, when they left for the Passover festival, they had no clue that anything would be different this time. Jesus was just a good kid in sixth grade. Mary and Joseph only knew something was different, something was wrong, when they were heading back to Nazareth and could not find Jesus among their relatives and friends. And then they panicked. Anything could have happened to him. The crowds in Jerusalem in those days were those like we see today at Mecca during the festival of the Hajj and at the Ganges River during the Hindu festival of Kumbh Mela. Millions of people are there, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus could have been trampled in a crowd on the run. That happens at these festivals all the time. He could have been kidnapped, put up for sale for slavery, or worse. Put yourself in his parents' shoes. After 3 days in Jerusalem, reporting his loss to the police and searching everywhere that they had been, they finally found Jesus in the temple. And this does not mean that he was in the holy place. It means that he was somewhere on what today is called the Temple Mount. It was a large, square, elevated platform, about 200 yards on each side. The mount is still there today. It had Herod's temple in the middle, fronted by the Plaza of Sacrifice, surrounded by colonnades and buildings of various types. One of those buildings was a religious academy for scribes and rabbis. It was presided over by the most intelligent and renowned scholars in Judaism of Jesus' day. It would be equivalent to the schools in Athens for the Gentiles. Jesus was there, in the middle of the best scholars of Judaism, listening to them as they gave their lectures or had their debates, and he would ask them questions. And he would answer their questions. The temple scholars were amazed. They had seen many excellent students in their day, obviously the best Jewish scholars and the best students of the day were there. But Jesus' wisdom and knowledge of the Old Testament surpassed them all. The teachers began to think privately to themselves, probably not to their peers, "I wonder what I can do to become a tutor of this young man. His parents must be rich. If I become his tutor, his future fame will be credited to me as his teacher." The teachers began to vie for his attention, and they probed his mind. And they found that Jesus was what we today call a prodigy. Not all of the famously talented people in history have been child prodigies, but many have. For example, there was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, composing music at the age of 5 and debuting on piano and violin both at age 6. And there was Blaise Pascal, writing his first mathematical proof on the wall with a piece of coal at the age of 11. More recently, there was Bobby Fischer, who won the United States Chess Championship at age 14. Most recently, there is Tiger Woods, who first broke 80 in golf at age 8. Now, child prodigies are not born that way. They have parents who train them, and then coaches, carefully training them in their skills at the very earliest age possible, and preparing them for those things all along the way. What was unusual about Jesus was that neither Joseph nor Mary had given him any special training. His training is indicated by verse 49, in which Jesus said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And that does not refer to Joseph. Somehow, some way, the Heavenly Father and the angels had been training Jesus. Or, here's the other possibility, he didn't need any training simply because he was God in the flesh. And at that point, in the temple, was beginning to reveal that. In whatever manner Jesus received his talents in scripture and theology, he made good use of those talents as the divinely appointed teacher of Israel when he became an adult. His teaching, summarized in the doctrine of the Christian Church, is still the most sublime wisdom of the ages, and still baffles the most intelligent scholars in the church and academy. May you always learn from Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, and your Master. In his name, amen.